James chapter number 3. Let me get some water here. I'm still trying to get my cords warmed up so that I sound as normal as I'm capable of. Chapter 3 of James, there is a verse, number 13, that is kind of the key. There's kind of a verse around which I want to build a little bit here this morning. But I'll read from there the rest of the chapter. It says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you?" Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? "Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom," talking about verse 14, the bitter envying and so forth, "this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." Now back up to verse 13, and let's read that one again. "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you?" That's a question. And here's the answer. "Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom." Well, you might want to trim me down just a hair, just a little bit, not much. Now, what we have here, that's better. What we have here is both a question and an answer. We have a specific question and a rather general answer to it. So on one hand, we have inquiry, and then we have information given. Asking a question, getting an answer. Now, the question, if you look at it, the question presents what I will call an advocacy. It is advocating something. It is advocating wisdom. It is advocating that a man be wise. And the answer provides an application. So, we have a lot of smart people. We do. We have a lot of smart people. I mean, whether you're talking about schools or scientists or doctors, I mean, we have a lot of smart people. I mean, you know, brainiacs. I mean, we have people who have, I mean, they got a good bit of intelligence. IQ's high. Academics. I mean, people who know a lot, but yet something is missing with them. I mean, they're packed full of information, but the way they apply it is just, I mean, you say, what are they thinking? So there is something missing, and that something that a lot of people are missing is wisdom. Now, at the risk of being just a tad trivial, I know how to drive a car. I'm a smart boy. I think I could drive your car. Go out there, put me in a vehicle, put me on one of those buses. I take the key. I know what that's for. I got it figured out. I know where to put my feet. I know what my hands are supposed to do when I'm driving. I know all of that. I know how to drive it, and I've got a vehicle. So what am I going to do? I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to cut donuts, and I'm going to peel out and spin around out on the road, and I may hit the road ditch a time or two. And the rest of you out there on the road, you better watch out for me, because I'm going to plow down the middle, and I'm going to run you off the road. Now, what did I just tell you? I just told you that I know about the automobile and I know how to drive it. But if I go out and pull a stunt like I just described, you would be fully justified in saying, that guy is stupid. He's not wise. Nobody would get out here on the road, drive down the middle, run other people off in the ditch. He may know how to drive, but he's not thinking right if he does that. Now, in the arena where you and I live, we have everybody. I mean, we got a little couple here. They just got married a couple years ago. Maybe they got a little one already. He's working a job. She's working part-time somewhere at a Jiffy Market. And, you know, they're making house they're paying rent and maybe got a car payment. And they're trying to buy a dishwasher. I mean, they're doing all these. I mean, they're getting their little life together. And their little family, and everything's starting to gel for them, and they've got dreams and all of this. But one day he brings home a six-pack. One day somebody flirts with her at work, et cetera, et cetera. And next thing you know, they're not happy at all. Next thing you know, they've got big troubles. I mean, they go to the mall somewhere and a bunch of sales, and they run their credit cards sky high. I mean, on and on. I mean, just let your wheels turn here. You can think of all kinds of scenarios. This couple, I mean, they got together because they thought they loved one another. They started doing the right things. I mean, they rented a little tiny apartment because that was all they could afford. But then they got to doing this and they got to doing that and running the bills up and drinking booze and flirting around with other people, and next thing you know, their life is in a mess. Now, do they not know? Oh, yeah, they came to Sunday school here. They came to church here 10 years ago, and they heard, don't drink the booze. You know, they heard, don't don't go to the office party at Christmas and tank up on whatever's in the punch. They heard all of that. But what happened? Oh, we grew up, so now then we can make our own choice and make our own decisions. What happens? What happens with us? I mean, we see it over and over and over again with folks. Do they know better than that? Well, sure they know better than that. But what's missing? Somewhere along the way, wisdom has not sunk in. I mean, wisdom has not come to them. Now, when you look at the Bible, and let me just run a little gamut of things with you here. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, Jesus said to us, talking to the saved people, ye are the salt of the earth. Okay, and I wonder why he called us salt. Well, salt is supposed to season. It's supposed to preserve. So when you and I go to the office party and other people are misbehaving, we should not get into the misbehavior, but we ought to be wise enough to say, I may have to be here. My job may require me to be here. But I can be some salt here. I can maybe encourage some of my buddies not to do some things. You know, I can be salt. That same Matthew chapter 5 says to us, you're the light of the world. So, We are supposed to not only be seasoning, preserving salt, but we're also supposed to add light to the darkness. I mean, where there is darkness, we're supposed to provide some light. I mean, there are people, and I'm telling you, there are people right here in this part of your world who they don't have a clue what's in this Bible. They don't know what's in this Bible. They have been brainwashed on evolution, and they think the very thought of creation, they think that that's some kind of an ignorant position, when exactly the opposite is true. So, what do you and I do? Well, it's a part of our job to shine our light. That same Matthew 5 says, "Let your light so shine that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." So you and I are supposed to be salt. We're supposed to be light. You move over a chapter to Matthew chapter 6, And there's a verse, number 33, that says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And so you and I are reminded there to put first things first. You know, the biggest thing and the main thing, I mean, everybody has to make a dollar. I mean, if you go to McDonald's to get a hamburger, they want a dollar. So you got to have a little money in your jeans, but your life is not about the money. Money is one of those things. It's not first. I understand. I mean, it's like a lot of things. You may have to have some of it, but that's not the mainest thing in your life. So Jesus gave us these instructions: be salt, be light, put first things first. You get to some other passages like 1 Corinthians 4. There's a verse that says, let a man so account of us as ministers of Christ and as stewards of the mysteries of God. So others ought to look at us and say, that guy, he's representing the Lord. He has tapped into the mysteries, things that other people don't understand, and he has become a steward of the mysteries of God. He knows about the things that others are only mystified about. So, the wise man, he is salt, he is light, he does put first things first, and he does exercise this stewardship of the mysteries of God. That is, he understands the things of God, and he becomes the steward of that. That's where he operates. That's where he lives. That's where he functions. I think about a passage like Ephesians 2:10 that says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. His workmanship. That is, when God is allowed to work in me and in you, what does he create? What does he produce? Now, he produces a fresh new product. He produces something that just on our own we would never get done. Now, wisdom will drive us to God. Wisdom will take us to him and cause us to listen. And when we begin to listen to God, God begins to work in us, and he begins to create in us and make in us and out of us what he wants to make out of us. Wow. I think about passages like 2 Corinthians 5:20 that says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador is somebody who represents somebody else. The ambassador is not where he is on duty. He is not doing his bidding, but he is doing the bidding of somebody that he works for. And the Bible says that we are ambassadors for the Lord. I think about a passage like 2 Timothy 2:3 that says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, in a world where a lot of smart people are doing stupid things, is it easy for me and for you to always do the wise thing? The answer is no. It's not always easy, but it's always right. And it's always best if we do the wise thing. And so this verse says, if you're going to stand up for the Lord, and if you're going to do battle for the Lord, and if you're going to get out there in the world, be the salt, be the light, do what you ought to do, be the ambassador, if you're going to do that, you will have to endure some hardness. There will be some pressure. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus, 2 Timothy 3 says, shall suffer persecution. So there's going to be some hardness, going to be some difficulty. I want to be a good Christian. It won't always be easy. I want to serve the Lord in Jasonville and all around here, wherever I am come Thursday. It won't always be easy. Now, I'm getting to something here that I think will facilitate it and make it easier. And that is, when we tap into the wisdom of God, we're not just doing what we know how to do, but we're getting the benefit of God's knowledge and God's wisdom, and tapping that right in to wherever we live and work and play. Now, let me back up and run another little gamut of things with you. If I'm supposed to be salt, I mean, if it's wise, if the wise man, who is a wise man in a dude with knowledge? The question is. Well, the verse says, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Meekness is how we relate to God. It's our yieldedness to him. Meekness is not some little sheepish attitude. Meekness is me realizing I'm not much, he's everything, and I need to pay attention to him. The Bible says meekness of wisdom. We yield to God, that's wise. So the answer to the question, who is a wise man? Well, it's the guy who shows out of a good conversation, meaning a good life, a good lifestyle. He shows his works with meekness, yieldedness to God. Now, so if I'm going to be salt and light and the example of the believers, an ambassador, a good minister of God, a good steward of the things of God, a good soldier, if I'm going to do that as I ought to do, the Bible says, let him show it. Right there in the answer, the application says, let him show it. So how do I show that? Let me give you a little list of where I think you can show it. Number one, what about your countenance? Your countenance. Your general persona. Your personality. We show it in that. I checked into the hotel over here at Sullivan last night. Lady on the desk about, I told you about 6:30. And, you know, what I did there is I do every place that I go and check in. I start the minute that I enter into the hotel. I start trying to be a little bit different from the last person they checked in. Warm, friendly, engaging. I don't even remember what the lady said now, but I said to her, I said, if it's all right with you, I said, I'm going to be here a couple days. I said, if it's all right with you, a couple nights. I said, if it's all right with you, I said, I'm going to do my best not to be a grouch while I'm here. I guarantee you, I got her attention when I said that. And now, you say, why would you say that? Because I'm softening the soil so that when I reach and get a gospel track, it will go down easier. I'll be there for till in the morning, till Monday morning, and when I leave, they already know who I'm connected with here. But I want them to have a good impression of you guys and of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, because you had a guest there, somebody who's warm, somebody who's pleasant, somebody who, I mean, let's suppose even something goes wrong. Let's suppose that we get a water leak, or I go in there and the sheets haven't been changed on the bed or something. Let's just suppose I have to go back up there and say to them, there's something wrong in my room. I need to, in such an instance, even more so, let my countenance radiate salt and light, be ambassadorial, be a good steward of the things of God in that. I must not let my countenance become clouded in the midst of a circumstance. Now, you say, well, I had one of those and I remember I blew it. Well, let me just stop here and parenthetically say, nobody's perfect at this. Because nobody is perfect. But we need to head in the right direction. And we need to practice some of these things. And, you know, and if you fouled something up recently, why don't you swallow hard and go clean it up? That'd be real salt right there. Now, but the wise person, if you and I get a hold of this, and if we're the wise person and we're salt and light and the example and the ambassador, etc., it will show in our countenance. Secondly, what about our character? Let him show, the verse says, out of a good conversation his works. Well, it seems to me like character comes into play there. Now, I know we had a national debate here. It's been 8 and 15, 20, a little over 20 years ago. We had a national debate whether or not character mattered. Remember that? 1992, the presidential election. We had a national debate on whether or not character mattered. People actually coming on TV and said, we shouldn't consider character. And we didn't. You know what we got. Now, what this is saying to me is, if I get wisdom, my character ought to reflect that. You got a used car to sell? Transmission slipping on it? You put it out in your front yard and put a sign on it. A guy comes by and looks at it. And he says, has it got any problem? Oh, no, everything's great. Your character just slipped a cog. And all the while, you and I need to back up and remember who we are. You say, I may not be able to sell it. That's right, you may not be able to. You may have to get it fixed. I mean, sometimes it does cost to be right and to be honest. But our character, our countenance should reflect all this stuff and the wisdom. Our character ought to. And if we have character, then there's another thing called conduct. I remember when I started school, we actually got a grade in conduct. I know I was often more concerned about that than I was about my other grades, because I knew if I went home with a bad mark on conduct, my dad would skin my hide. And I wasn't interested in that happening. But when we have the wisdom of God, it does impact our conduct in just so many, many ways. So we make the application to our countenance, to our character, to our conduct. What about our communications? You remember there's a verse in Ephesians chapter 4 that says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Wow. There goes the bad language, there goes the dirty jokes, etc. One of the networks this week suspended two of their contributing people they have on the payroll, suspended two of them, one of them for 2 weeks, and I don't know how long the other one, for using language on an interview that they shouldn't have used. Now, there's some other words that I wish they would also make off limits that they seem to think is okay. But Christians ought, our communication, it ought to be yay, yay, and nay, nay. It ought to be without the foul stuff. So we're going to be salt and light and ambassadors and good stewards and good soldiers. It ought to show in our countenance, show in our character, show in our conduct, show in our communications. What about the company you keep? The company you keep. Now, I know people, I have interchange with people that are on totally different wavelengths, and we all do. But you have to be careful about your close contacts and your close connects and your close buddies. You got to be real careful with that. Everybody has influence, and the people who hang closest to you have the greatest influence on you, typically. And so we have to watch the company that we keep. Okay, so we're going to do all this, countenance, character, conduct, communications, company. What about your contributions? You say, wait a minute, I'm talking about where you put your money, where you spend your money. There are places that even if they have something good to sell, I'm not going to go by there. I just don't do it. Some guy in town's got a business, and he is a loud mouth for every evil cause that you ever heard of. I'm going to drive out of my way to go deal with his competitors. Just making my influence count. Every once in a while, I will. In fact, my wife does more than I do. She's an activist. But every once in a while, we'll call up a place. And again, we back up to our countenance, our communication, how we do it. But we call them up and we say, you know, you've got something going on at your place of business that makes it very difficult for me to do business with you. Well, we're sorry, what was it? And we tell them. Now, you know, you're just using your influence. Just making your influence count. Because I want to do the best I can. And I don't think any of us can be totally clean on this. Because, you know, you do business with big corporations all the time and you don't know where their money's going. So we have some vulnerability. But sometimes we know, and we do have an option, and we do have a way around it. And so how we handle things, it just matters. It matters. It tells people. In fact, talking about contributions, I don't want to look at your checkbook. I don't mean this. But if you let me look at your checkbook, it will tell me an enormous amount about you. And my checkbook would tell you about me too. You know, it would tell you whether I'm salt or not. It would tell you whether these things really matter to me. So salt, light, being an ambassador, being a good soldier, being a good steward. What about the conflicts of your life? How you deal with conflict? Somebody does you dirty, does it sour you? Or do you still get up and walk with God the next day? I mean, somebody just dumps on you, they trash you, they betray you. Does it so soil your heart and your spirit that your countenance, I mean, you look like the last days of the Depression? Or in the midst of trial and difficulty, do you still have a rejoicing heart? Just asking. Now, I back up here to where my question is. Who is a wise man? Where is that guy? Somebody that is endued with knowledge, the question asks. So, knowledge is important, but the wisdom is also exceedingly important. And the Lord gives us the answer. He says, I'll tell you who the guy that's endued with knowledge, and I'll tell you who the guy is that has wisdom. He's the guy who out of his lifestyle, out of a good conversation, shows his works with meekness, that is, in deference to God. He picks up his wisdom from the source of all wisdom. And he applies it. His countenance, his character, his conduct, his contributions. I mean, all that list that I ran. You look at that guy and you can tell by how he does business. You can tell by where he goes. You can tell by what he spends money on. You can tell if this guy has wisdom or not. Betty and I have 6 grandchildren. And they are growing up in a hurry. The oldest one just turned 20. Unbelievable. Means Betty's getting older. But anyway. We have 4 granddaughters, all of whom are teenagers. 2 grandsons, one of whom is 13. Well, some of you met Jonathan. He was here with me last year. And then the younger one is Daniel. He's just turned 11. So we got 6 grandchildren. They live there in the area. My son works with me. We see the grands regularly. They watch every move we make. Now, they're not looking for something. They just watch us. It shocks me sometimes because one of them will say, "Well, Daddy Smith, you said Well, when did I say that? Oh, it was 2 years ago. I remember you said that. Now, if I'm vulnerable, if I'm vulnerable anywhere, it's probably at home. We're more apt to be vulnerable when the tie's off and, you know, we're just hanging out at home. If my character doesn't reflect the wisdom of God, or my communications, or my count, I mean, if any of this doesn't reflect the wisdom of God, guess who picks up on it? My kids, my grands, those neighbors that are right, I mean, from my garage door to the neighbor's garage door is about 30 feet. Yes, sirree, I'm going to announce. I got it. I'm wise. Yeah, we do that and we're stupid. Not wise at all. But I'll tell you who can tell. You run this little gamut by, and what do your neighbors think? What do your grandchildren think? What does your spouse think? They're the ones who, if we show it, they will know it. If they don't know it, we're probably not showing it. Now, I hope this is of some help to you. I dug around in this. The last couple of days, I've been prowling around here, and I just kind of roughed this out a little bit because it was helping me, and I hope it'll be of some help to you. Because, you know, the further down the trail we get, I think the more we begin to say, you know, I do need to figure this out the way the Lord lays it out. And does He want us to have information, have knowledge? Yes. But that missing ingredient that so many people do not have, the wisdom, it's one of those things that you and I can have. God's not holding that back. I mean, He's not trying to shield all this from us. But it's up to us to get an appetite for it. And just pull it right in and just say, I'm going to make the application. Question is, who is a wise man? Well, the application, the answer says, let him show it out of a good conversation with meekness of wisdom. Lord, help us. Amen. All right. Father, thank You for Your good blessings. Thank You for precious instruction and help and the truth that You give us. And dear Lord, all of us are trudging our way. We want to do what we ought to do. And dear God, help us this day. I pray to grow a little bit and to be stronger when the day is done. In Jesus' name, amen.